What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Dad Strides podcast, the podcast all about getting those tired legs moving again, those tired old dad legs that I'm sure are a little weary from Christmas, New Year's Eve, you know, eating a lot of food. And with that, we just want to say Happy New Year. We're right there with you. But to kick off the new year, we have a special episode. We sit down with JG, Joe Greer, the man, the myth, the legend. We chat CIM, him becoming a new dad, and if all the hype around the short thigh tights, I don't even know if I'm saying that right, are they worth the hype? We really dive into the good stuff in this episode. But a lot has happened in the last month. I bought a mountain bike, which has kind of been a thing. Caleb might be injured. We might be signing up for some new races, and overall, just a lot to talk about. So for those of you asking about that stuff, we will be covering it in the next episode. But for right now, enjoy our chat with Joe Greer.
Oh. Oh wait, I gotta hit record.
Whoa, dude. Is that my dog?
Is that our freaking dog, Dad?
I might need to wear these to cover the dark circles under my eyes. I am not getting sleep.
Whoa, dude, how fast are you?
Fierce.
Dude, I don't know, man. I guess fast enough to be able to wear these eye jackets.
Yeah, those things are out of control. Those things are hugging your eyebrows.
Yeah, you know, it's about aerodynamics so that I can
You know what? I think that's my problem. I'm just not aerodynamic. You know, broad shoulders, running. I catch a lot of air, you know?
It's true, the drag, yeah.
Yes. What's wrong,
secret?
Caleb?
Oh, no, I'm just like making sure all my stuff's recording, dude. Yeah. We got Joe Greer on the pod, dude. What up? New dad, what's fresh up? Off a couple marathons. Yeah. And now he's traveling for work, which is actually a topic I want to talk about.
Yeah, good to see you guys. It's been a minute. I feel like so much has happened since last time we did this.
Yes.
So much has happened. But yeah, it's a... Yeah, a lot of running, a lot of marathoning, but it's a lot of striding.
And a lot of dadding.
A lot of dadding.
There you go. Dadding. Before we get into all that good stuff, this is I have a question, which is basically like a litmus test for your honesty throughout this whole podcast. Who's the best quarterback in the National Football League?
It's definitely not Patricia Mahomes, for sure. Sure as heck not her.
Dude, what a zing.
Oh my gosh.
What a singer.
For all of you who don't know, Joe's a Bengals fan. I'm a Chiefs fan. Most of our text conversations is Joe trolling me.
It's probably the biggest rivalry outside of any divisional rival, like outside of your division.
Yeah, there's been some heat.
The biggest one right now. Jamar Chase was talking a bunch of crap.
Yeah, we got Burrowhead. We have Burrowhead, the mayor Speed. Calling Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Joe, I don't even want to get it. I can't even say it. It's offensive.
It's a good thing that Joe was out and not playing this last weekend, because Taylor Swift probably would have left Travis for Joe. So
Joe, I will give you that, dude. Joe looked hot on Sunday.
Yeah,
the new hair. So. Yeah, look up Joe Burrow. He's a hottie.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you need to watch their documentary. People are saying it's good.
Which one?
The
quarterback.
Quarterbacks. Isn't Travis? Travis and who's Travis's brother?
They have a podcast.
They have a podcast. It's Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce have a doc on Amazon Prime.
Oh,
Joe apparently Burrow it's good. Is going to be in the next season of quarterback though.
Which is so boring.
I don't know football.
He's been out half of the season, so I'm really curious to see how that's going to be.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, because it'll be interesting to see him from like a humble perspective, because usually you don't usually get him from a non-humble.
Anyways, that was Niall's way to warm you up. Joe, where are you recording from right now? Where are you at?
I am in my hotel room in Gainesville, Florida, about 30 minutes from where I grew up.
Wow.
What are you doing?
Inside of Ocala, Florida is where I grew up. But the home of Tim Tebow. I'm here in Gainesville. I just got in this morning, and then I leave in 2 days. Booked a job with so it's
Cool.
That's cool.
I don't think this will be coming out by the I don't know if I can say it.
We'll bleep it.
Yeah. I don't know if I can think there's an embargo stuff, but I'm photographing till like June, basically, we're documenting the high school athlete player of the year for their respective sport.
Oh, that's cool.
And
so, it's a sick project.
Yeah. So it's like 12 athletes, the best 12 athletes in the country in their sport. Tomorrow's football, it's a Texas quarterback who committed to University of Florida. And so he's here. So photographing him and alongside Emmett Smith tomorrow.
Oh, that's cool. That's super cool.
So it's going to be fun. And, you know, cross country is in a few weeks, which I'm super gassed about. You know, there's track and field, volleyball.
Yeah, I remember seeing the high school athletes that won like Gatorade Athlete of the Year for like running, and I was always like, "You are the number one." Like Caitlin Tui, I think, was like who got it. Now she's pro, and I just remember she got it.
Got it a few years ago. LeBron James was it like 20 years ago. So.
It's like you're the elite of that.
That's
era.
Cool. That's cool.
That's gonna be fun.
We did a high school football project for Ozarka Water. I don't think is rolling yet. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about that either, but it was very fun to get into the high school atmosphere.
Right. Yeah. It's going to be fun. But
it was super fun.
Just dabbing them high schoolers up.
Just trying to relate.
Exactly. Trying so hard, but like just missing it probably. But you're like unaware because you have kids now. So you're like, oh, whatever. You have the excuse.
But then by the time they're older, our kids are going to think they're lame. So it's kind of like, it's like you have your
like
seven
ahead,
years
bro.
Of coolness where it's like you are the culture and then that's it. And then you're always going to be, you know, and then you're done. And there's something cooler.
Like, I just plan to do everything within my power to be the cool dad at school and at practice.
Here we go.
It's just like, oh, who's that guy over there? Like, because I'm in a part of town where it's just like, there's a lot of people that dress like me or have tattoos. I'm in a very kind of clean cut, wealthiest county, you know, in the country, but I'm not a part of that.
Right.
You're straight out of Brooklyn. Straight from New York.
When homeboy Oliver rolls up and smokes all these kids in whatever sport it's going to be, he's obviously going to have these gifted genes. Yeah. I'm just going to play in the background a little bit and just be this anomaly. Like, who is that guy? So I don't know. I want to create mystery and, you know, I want to be the dad where all
I love it.
Kids want to come to our house.
I've given that a lot of thought myself. Like, what's my dad perception? What's my dadception?
This is a good topic.
To all the kids. And I want to be known as kind of gnarly. Like, I think that's what I want to be known as one.
Yes.
One, if you disrespect him, he'll rip your head off. I like that. I like that branding. It's very Missouri, you know. It's very how I grew up. And then I also want to be known as like, oh, like he gets up really early and like does hard things.
Cold plunge and just gets his life right.
Right. But less of like the Kachava like spiritual side to it, because that's not into it. My dad actually gave me a bag of Kachava for Christmas. One of my gifts. So, and reading the packaging is just hilarious. But we'll get into that later. Yeah. Dude, so how old is Oliver now?
He's Christmas Day, he was 7 months. So, as little as 7 months now.
Is he showing any early signs of athleticism, coordination? How's he progressing?
How are the ridges?
Yeah, his eye coordination is actually really good.
That's good.
Yeah, he can grab things. He's very curious. He's very aware of everything, especially, which is so funny, whenever I have my camera out. Like, there's some objects that I have that he kind of, you know, doesn't notice, but like when I have my camera, it's just,
it's
so funny. Maybe he just, I don't know what he thinks, but he's doing well. He's in the 99th percentile of the biggest head circumference.
Let's go. I have a big head. Come on. You know, I like that.
Was it what you,
which is great.
Yeah. Great times.
He's got a big brain.
What you expected becoming a dad? I feel like from the last time you were on the pod, obviously we were just goof off as it is.
Wine,
but like,
it was like, it was late at night, you know?
Are you still like, are you able to live a similar lifestyle, or is it like your perception been like, you know, we're doing a lot more than I thought for the baby? Or is it like your whole life now? Some people shift their whole life to be like, the baby's everything. I have a new identity. Whereas like, I think for Niles and I both, it was a little blend of both, but we kept more of what we did originally because we have great wives, which I'll give them credit for.
You got to shout out the wife. Yeah.
Curious to hear where you're at with that.
Yeah. It's, it feels kind of similar to that. I think Maddie and I were so intentional about, I mean, we've heard so much of the negatives before I came, of just like, oh, well, good thing you got all your traveling done, because that's over. It's a lot of nonsense. I'm sure you guys probably got a lot of
time, yeah.
Traveling is a big part of, we don't just travel for fun. We're very grateful and thankful that traveling is work, and it is also fun. But like, so we have to travel. I have to travel to pay bills to get done. So we just embrace the challenge. I think what is, we've heard all, you know, the horror stories of traveling with an infant and taking flights. Like, I think that's just not real. I think Maddie and I know our rhythm. Airport. We know how to go. We know how long it takes to do this. We know how I got my process with film and my cameras and what I got to get hand checked. Right. So I take the stroller. She takes the baby. He's already taken 9 flights already.
Nice. Like, wow. Okay. Sick. Good for him.
Fly in the morning. Takes a bottle when we take off. He does not make a peep for the 2 hours that we're in the air. And so we usually plan around morning flights whenever we're flying with him. One afternoon flight, and that was kind of testy. So it's just like,
it's some rough waters at some point, like, but managed.
Yeah.
But I feel like if you and your wife are in a same headspace with like, it's gonna be hard. But like, if you're acting as a team together, that's everything. Yes. It's like you'll figure it out.
And it's so true. And like Maddie and I, thankfully, are in the same field. Like if she was like a lawyer,
whatever.
I was, you know, traveling, it'd be so. I mean, there'd be so much going on.
Right.
Also very grateful that Maddie's mom lives a 4-minute drive from where we live. So when I'm gone, Maddie's mom comes.
We have help.
Quite a bit. And so that's just like super. I'm very grateful for that. But
clutch.
We're embracing him. We're embracing we're bringing him along our life.
I've seen that. I've seen you guys. Like, it's like you're just, he's become a part of the Greer fold, which I think is so cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. To answer that first question, I mean, it's changed everything, categorically changed my life. It's been the best thing that's ever happened. It's been obviously hard. I miss sleep, which has been very hard for running, which I'm very curious on y'all's thoughts on that. Like, because that's affecting recovery. That's affecting, you know, if he has a bad night, and he hasn't been sleeping well.
Yeah. He's at the regression age where it's like teeth start to come in.
And 3.5 months. So we're hoping it is soon. I'm down in the valley right now, man. I feel like
you need to call in the name of the Lord.
Me and God are wrestling right now, man.
It is funny how sleep affects literally everything. It affects
everything.
How you are, how you feel, how you run, and
stress, cognitive ability, like all of that.
Whoa, dude, cognitive ability.
Yeah, dude.
I can't sleep. I would like to sleep. It's just there's a tiny human that is that needs care and attention.
Right.
And so obviously, he's the best thing that's ever happened to Matt and I's life. And we're so excited to just continue to learn and grow and continue to make mistakes and learn from them. And but just bringing Oliver into our lifestyle. It was very important for us that all those doomsday advice of just like your life's over. Obviously our life centers around Oliver and he is our life, our future. But we want to bring him into that and get him familiar with us traveling and going places and be comfortable hearing all these sounds and he's done so well. He's adjusted very well, aside from a little bit of sleep progression. That's been the most challenging thing.
But, I mean, there's always something. There's always something.
I feel like I've noticed even traveling or noticing people online, like Europeans specifically, do that with their kids from a younger age. Like culturally, it's a little more normal to like just haul your kid on trains, on public transport, around to hotels. And I think, you know, they're quote unquote, a lot of Europeans seem well traveled. And I think it's just because it's baked in a little bit more.
It's
so
kind of what you do. Yeah.
And I feel like starting them early like that is kind of like like a really
And
nice
they have like all the railroad systems like all throughout Europe. So it's so easy to get around. And that's the thing here.
Yeah.
So
it's more normal to see like a mom with a kid in one of those backpacks just literally at lunch. And it's like a bit more common than here where you just see a bunch of like kind of single people or I don't know.
Right.
Maybe at least where
I think people just handle the adversity differently. And I think if you have an expectation that you're still going to be comfortable, then you're probably in for a rude awakening. But I think if you kind of embrace the discomfort of it, it's actually pretty fun. And then I mean, I don't know about for you guys, but for me, it's like Sarah and I grew a lot closer because it was like, oh, we're kind of on a team now where we're not versus our children, but we have to like work together to make this a functioning system, you know?
Yeah.
I think a lot of the times too, like early, me and Ariana got married pretty young, and it was like you have a lot of similarities at that age in life, and then you slowly separate on like what your actual hobbies are or you, what you like. But then the kid is almost like, "We're back, baby!" Like in lot of ways because it's around that. So it's like,
"We're back, baby!" So true.
Yeah. But the other thing I was gonna ask too, I did this a lot, and I shouldn't have probably, but I every time we were going into like. Getting close to the baby being like born, I was like kept relating it back to like training. I'd be like, all right, so we got to get some calories in, like you're gonna have a long day, like mentally it's gonna be tough, but like there's an end in sight. And every time Ariana's like, stop talking about running in relation to giving birth. So that's my advice on this episode. Dads out there, if you're expecting this year, don't relate it back to training.
Your wife doesn't care about as much about your hobbies as you do. or love to hear about them.
And he read some article, or is that something that was like being a mother or something? I don't know if it was like giving birth or it was like, I don't know. But she said something where she read an article where it was like, basically being a mother and giving birth is the equivalent of running so many marathons or something. And I'm just like, please.
Give me a break.
You do not know about that Queensborough Hill at mile 15. Right. Trust me.
With all that humidity too, like 2 years
out of your
ago.
Body, but yeah. I'm gonna need you to...
Have you ever heard about bonking? Okay.
Yeah. Which I did recently. Thank you.
Yes.
I want to back up just 2023 as a whole. Obviously, you finished 2022 with CIM and you have the documentary coming out. I think there's a lot of, you already talked about that a little bit, but 2023, just as a runner, I feel like was kind of like a huge year for you.
Yeah. Yes and no. It was a bigger year for me. On the creative side, because I joined Bandit and that produced some really cool opportunities photographically. I ran a half marathon in Nashville in April. That was just kind of a whatever thing. And then I only raced one marathon in 2023, which was this last CIM. So the 2023 year was a bigger year in terms of goal, hitting my goals. This year I didn't really hit the goals that I was trying to. I have more hopes, bigger hopes for this year. I've got, you know, doubling the marathons, doubling the half marathons.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was because you joined Bandit, but I'm curious kind of a little more info on how that came about and like what the goal with that is.
Yeah. I think it was like the beginning. It was like almost last year, January of last year. So a year this month, I just kind of like had for the last previous 2 years, I was getting back into the running space and I'm just kind of like looking at who's doing cool stuff creatively. Like what are the companies that are kind of pushing the envelope, pushing the boundaries. And I was just kind of bored with a lot of it. A lot of it just felt kind of just basic, nothing, you know, really too artistic. And then I discovered Bandit and that was January. They had became a company the previous October. So like 3 or 4 months.
Oh, so new. Okay, cool.
Super new, October of 2022. And so I was like, man, who's this Bandit? I saw one of their hats, which I loved. And I was like, I love that name, Bandit. That sounds so sick. I love the clothes and things that they had produced. So I had that in the back of my mind, but I put out a tweet and I was just like, man, I would love to be able to, something like along the lines of, I'd love to be able to do this hybrid creative runner partnership with a brand. I have contacts at Nike, Hoka, On Adidas, and so I felt like Traxman. I feel like it was right there, like unique position photographically with what I do as a photographer and as an artist, but also my competitive running that was getting better. I was like, surely there's a way that somebody could benefit from what I offer, both in running and photography and creative vision. And I put a tweet out something like that like hopefully this year.
Bandit. You're like, I'm gonna manifest this.
Bandit found it and reached out the next month in February. And having lived in Brooklyn, they're a Brooklyn-based company. There's that, you know, that kind of nostalgic moment, connection point for me. So they reached out and it had two successful shoots with summer and fall with them. That was all.
That's
film.
Cool.
Super fun.
Yeah. Those videos, I'll link them below. If you're like behind the scenes videos, sick.
So fun.
They're obviously like hooking you up with a bunch of gear and then obviously then paying for you for the gigs. But where they're at, they're a small company. So you probably have a lot of just creative freedom versus like popping into like a Nike where I feel like you can mold that relationship a little bit.
Absolutely. And I really loved that they were shoe agnostic. So they don't have a data. I like training in a certain shoe and I like racing in a different shoe.
That's huge.
So that was really weirdly important to me. And
that's why with Tracksmith coming out with a shoe, I was like, whoa, what are you guys doing? Like, this is a little...
It really pigeonholes them into, like, what athletes can wear their stuff, because the shoe is the most important.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. So, I mean, and they just... I had way more, obviously, flexibility, and they're very transparent about where they were. And I, you know, the fact that they wanted me and they kind of, you know, created this role of sponsored athlete and creative partner where I'd like shoot the projects of some of their campaigns. And so they just brought me back for this next year. So I'll be shooting all four season looks now.
Cool.
So, it worked out, and they kind of, you know, obviously I get product and, they cover race fees and stuff like that. And, you know, I've got shares in the company too, which is really exciting. So
race fees is massive. Yeah. Like, that's a huge perk because it's like, it's small, but it goes such a long way when you know, like, I don't know. That's so cool. Congratulations. I know that's really rad.
Yeah,
It's kind of on our list too, to like do more running related work. It's one of those like, like the fusion of the arts and running is just like, I don't know. It's almost like, it's not quite like skate culture in filming, is this element of like, I just feel really excited about it. And I know Caleb does too. So it's kind of on our list too, is to like,
It's been cool to see more creatives in our field get into running. You see running kind of have its moment right now.
Yeah, like, I agree.
It definitely is kind of having its moment.
It's having a cool moment, like an artistic moment, not just a moment, but it's like it's going the direction that a few years ago I couldn't find. And I'm saying I'm leading that charge. I feel like it's a lot of people are a lot of artists are getting into running. And there is room here for something cool to happen.
Yeah.
Is it because running looks cool, or is it because it's related?
No, the running does not look cool, dude.
Running's so dorky.
Somebody can get a photo of you when you're at your bottom step.
Down step.
It does not look cool. I mean, you get a good shot.
An interesting correlation, though, right now in like American distance running specifically, we are good, whether it's the milers, up into the marathoners. Historically, Nagus? Nagus is on.
He might win, dude. He might beat out.
Yeah, Josh Kerr has something to say too.
He does.
I mean, where American distance running's at historically, we haven't actually had this like much depth. Even in the marathon proper, there's a handful of guys coming up now.
That's cool.
And it's really, I think, with the rise of social media in our generation, it's kind of like it is absolutely having its moment. And then I think that trickles down to like there's more money involved. There's more than people like us involved that we want, that you can care about. And it's a very, anyone can do the sport. It's not like,
That's it. You just need a pair of shoes.
Yeah. You don't even need to be coordinated.
There is something there though. Like maybe it's not it looking cool, but it's just like how monotonous it is. Like it's just the most, it's like there's, you move one foot forward, you move the other foot forward, and then like your hands slightly, and I think, like that's and it I think for over
good
leg,
good legs.
You know? Yeah. That's true. And I think a big part of it too, I think coming out of, you know, how COVID just shifted everybody's mindset about to take care of health, you know, the health benefits of running far outweigh any other potential activity that you could do. And so, I mean, the studies on it is obviously we all know the benefits of running, what it does to mental clarity and to our body so, I mean, I think that's been a big reason too, is like people are taking their health more seriously and it's the most accessible thing.
Does Jack Coyne still run?
Yeah,
that's a great question. Know? I think I'm on the Stravs.
I think he sends it every once in a while, like pretty good.
I remember him saying he runs mad. He runs mad. So even if he's like not in shape, like he'll still run mad. Like he'll
is that just
run
the New
really
York
hard.
Way to run? Is that like
it, does, there, it feels like the New Yorker way to run? Like if you grow up in a brownstone, like you run mad. You know, it's just the nature.
That
okay,
checks out.
So really quick though, I want to talk a little bit about CIM 2023.
Oh man, yeah.
We don't need to go long, but I'm curious to hear how that, I know kind of how the race went from following you on the app, but like, I want to hear it from you.
I had high hopes, you know, having, broken 240 last year at CIM and ran a 236 and pretty comfortably, like it was, it was pretty, I didn't hit anything until maybe like mile 24, 25. I was kind of like feeling a little tight, but it was a very comfortable run. And then, so I was like, I just had a freaking 13 minute PR. Let me, and I did it pretty easily. Like, let's
Let's keep going.
I can knock off 6 minutes and try to go sub 230. Like,
let's totally
do that. And so that was the goal all year, was to like sub 230, sub 230. That was the training.
Five, four, threes. Yeah.
Let's just like lock it in, get it done. But then Oliver came. And not, it's not a bad butt, but it's like, okay, and I knew
No, totally, dude. It's like a big life change. Yeah.
And then the summer was just like, because he was born in the end of May, the summer was just like, before I started my training block for Sam, was just survive. Just survive. Don't lose fitness. Or don't lose all of your fitness. You can lose some. Just like, get out when you can. Be there for Maddie. Help everything, you know, because I work was down intentionally so I could be there. So summer was just survive. And I went into the training block pretty stoked. And then the sleep regression started to happen, and then traveling picked up, and then work picks up.
I got super,
I shot a buddy's wedding in Lake Como in Italy. And, after the, I ran like 13 miles the day of the wedding, the morning of, came back, was on my feet all day in like loafers, which is a horrible idea, for like 12 hours and something. Just being on my feet in that context, something happened to like my which I didn't know at the time. It was in my right hamstring, but the culprit is my left glute med, which I'm working through it right now. So I had to deal with this like hamstring issue all training block, minus not good sleep, minus not good recovery, minus work, picking back up and traveling, weather, inconsistency, missing so many key long runs that I needed to. It just was not an ideal build. But
this is the dad's stride, just like encompassing coming out right now, dude.
And it's just like, oh my gosh. And because prior to that, like I have just had great builds and rarely missed a workout, did everything I needed to do. And so this was my first time like having that, met with that kind of scheduling and life adversity in terms of a block. And it was, so I dropped out of Chicago. I was supposed to do two. I was shy of Chicago. And then CIM as a backup in case something happened or I didn't hit 230 or I had to pull out. Pulled out because of my hamstring. I was like, okay, I got 2 months to try to get my hamstring right. And then I had a really good 2 month build up to, and I felt really confident that I was there and was going to be good to go. But then 3.5 weeks out from CIM, I got COVID. And so that put me out of a week. So I lost that week of training. And then I was pretty much right into taper after that. And so, man, dude, it was just one thing after another. And so going into it in the taper, it was just like, okay, I feel like if I can, I don't think I can do 230.
Yeah.
If everything went right and it was perfect, I could get close. But like, I feel like I 233, 234, 232 shape. And so that was that. We shifted the goal to like go out at 550s, high 540s. And I went out. Felt great for 15, almost 16 miles. Was averaged 5:46 for those first 15. Felt super strong, super comfortable. And then it just, and then mile 16 came around. I was like,
something's up. That hurts.
I don't like that. But it was everything from the hip up felt perfect. No GI issues, no gut.
Oh, that's cool.
Felt great. Heart rate was low. The legs just did not have the juice for that pace that I was trying to go for. Yeah. It just like, I couldn't, my legs.
Well, you need to go that fast. You need so much spring. Like you need so much bounce for the whole race.
You need a lot of strength too. Just
the culprit because I have literally never lifted a weight in my training.
I saw you actually post today that this was the first time that you were doing like squats.
And my coach is like, Joe, it is your lowest hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Like if you do strength, you're a completely different runner.
No, dude, that's the message I think most runners need to hear. Same. Right. It's just like, I'm just like, it doesn't come naturally to go.
You know,
like,
it doesn't. It's just like, I just want to go out and run. Like, I don't want to do weights. I don't want to do squats. And so I don't know how to do the form. And I was really insecure because I didn't know how to do it. Am I going to hurt myself? Am I bending and doing a deadlift correctly? Like, am I going to put on 20 pounds? I don't want to put on 20 pounds. So, but now I met this fitness guy, he's become a good friend, Nick Bear. He just moved to, I'm sure you guys know of him. He just moved to Nashville.
We know about
39,
it.
BPN you know, subs, baby.
We got a box sent to us. Shout out Jordan, dude, baby.
Shout out Jordan Nutter for sending us the goodies.
Oh, Jordan, the man.
I mean,
him too, and he's just like, dude, Joe, if you start lifting and doing strength, like it's a game changer. So I'm just like, I just started my strength this week.
Especially in those later miles. What's interesting though is like if you're still trying to like chug along at that fast pace, but your heart rate is like that's so much potential there that you like have because
just like I'm looking at it, I'm like, dude, it wasn't a waist up issue. It was literally just the legs, and so I stopped.
That's good. 16. That's a good something to pull back out of like a quote unquote bad race though. So
yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. So like mile from mile 16 to 21, I stopped 7 times and walked, and I was like, and every time I stopped, I was like, I'm done. The next day I had to fly to Hawaii for a shoot. And I was like, I'm just going to save my legs for the shoot.
Yeah. You're not going to be able to walk the next day. Yeah.
I'm done. Let me just like put all my, let me just have a good week in Hawaii and get this done. And it's every time I stopped, that went into my mindset. And I literally stopped with the intention of hitting end on my watch and just figuring out how to get back.
Right.
But after 10 seconds of thinking that, 15 seconds of thinking that, Oliver just kept coming into my mind. That I am going, and it was so emotionally beautiful, and it was the most incredible thing. Like, because and I just like it came to the forefront of my mind. I said, all these runners are passing me, and I know that my chance to hit a PR is dwindling. That like I'm going to be the dad that tells Oliver that when you commit to something and you say yes to something, you see it through and you finish it. And to in his first 7 months of life, I give up on something that was hard and my legs didn't have it and I gave up that easily. So it just like, Joe, get off your ass, keep going.
Right.
So I did that 7 times and Oliver kept coming to the forefront of my mind in that. It was a very powerful,
beautiful thing
that allowed me to finish. And
using
I got
kids as the fuel. That's so tight.
Exactly.
Jeez.
And I finished at like, just like at a 2:40, which was 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes off of my PR. So, I mean, having stopped 7 times, to do that, it was my fastest marathon. I was super devastated. I'm so competitive, as Niall knows, with just even legal football. But like, I have such high standards when it comes to just anything competitiveness. Like it was a hard one to swallow, but a very beautiful thing to like finally know what the hitting a wall or bonking feels like.
Yeah,
but I'm so glad I experienced it.
Finishing too, apart, even if you walk it in, quote unquote, all the way, like the DNF is such a weird.
I have to change a diaper. I'm sorry. He has poop in his diaper. He's been sitting on me.
It's
okay. I just looked at my leg. I have a little poop spot on my pants.
Nice.
All right.
And I'm going to change his diaper. I'll be right back.
All right.
Yeah, that DNF, a long time ago, I ran like a, this was even before I got into running again, like dad stride stuff, but I remember not finishing like a half marathon one point just because I went out way too hot and it was just like I think something's wrong with me. You make all these little excuses and then you pull out and like for weeks you can't stop thinking about that. You're like I wimped out just because I was tired.
Exactly.
Essentially, like at the unless you're fully injured and you have something else planned the next like you're gonna actually ruin training for your next like you know handful of races or whatever your A races or whatever. But man, I just. The DNF, and then I've listened to a bunch of, I mean, I'm more running like trails and now focusing on like eventually ultra stuff.
Yeah.
Or I am doing ultra stuff, but I heard a guy, he was like, I'm never going to DNF as long as there's like a cutoff. He was like, I'm just going to finish. I don't even care. Like the pride can leave, but like the feeling of you actually at least completed it goes a lot farther. So I found that kind of interesting, even if
That's super helpful. And I like that next day I thought, I was like, man, that would have really sucked if I just, because there was at one point I sat down on the curb.
Oh, okay.
And that was when I was at my lowest where I was like, I'm toast. Like I'm legs don't have it. But every time I got back up, I had the juice again and I was able to get down to a low 6. So it's like, it was this weird.
That's weird. Yeah.
Game that like,
Your legs were just kind of fried. It makes sense. I mean, the other thing in that same vein I wanted to say was sometimes I've seen elites basically pull out of races. They go out redlining because they're trying to compete. They're trying to win.
Right.
But then they DNF and there's something about like, come on, bro, just stick it out. Like the average runner kind of like us or whoever, like, I think a lot
there's,
more.
Like, weird thing I found out recently that like especially those like pro marathoners that are running, you know, sub 2:15. That they've got like clauses in their contract of like like dropout clauses that if they make it to a certain mile marker, then they get money or not money. And so some people drop out at 20 or try to make it at 20 to get their bonus.
It is incentivizes some type of distance. Whoa.
I found out more about that world within the pro circuit, which is just so bizarre that you got to think about that too. Like, I mean, those pros are only running 2 marathons a year at most, maybe 3. So, but it was tough, but it was a beautiful, beautiful learning experience.
For sure.
I've got, you know, two marathons on deck for this year. I got Boston coming up. And then probably gonna do New York in the fall
cool.
again.
Nice. Two hilly courses.
Yeah. You know, I spectated New York a few months ago, and it was my first time spectating a marathon, and I just got the buzz. I was like, I gotta get back to New York. Now that I like know where my ceiling is, and it's like I wanna give New York a proper try.
Bro, Boston's gonna be a vibe, though. Are you kidding me? That's I think that's
like the race.
It's so historical.
That is the A race, I think.
Yeah,
the 128th running. It's a crapshoot too with the weather. It's could be raining, could be cold,
could be yeah,
we don't know.
But that's also hilly course, or like technically.
I did hear a lot of marathoners that have ran both New York and Boston say that Boston was easier than New York.
Gotcha. Still net downhill, I think. But then
I'm excited. I got hills in Nashville that I'll be training on. I'm adding the strength element.
Yeah.
Which I'm excited to see how that'll affect in Boston. But
right.
I will see. I'm praying for some sleep for Oliver because it's just, it's been one.
It'll come for sure. All of a sudden, like one night, you're like, wait. Like,
I know.
Like, did we sleep? Like, we slept. Like, what the heck? We slept. That was great. Everywhere you travel for work, do you run as well? Going into this next year marathons, like, obviously, you're gonna be traveling for work. I guess, what's your strategy there?
Yeah. It's going to be, I was supposed to do a workout today, but like, I got it in and had to come right to this prep meeting and this walkthrough that lasted a few hours. And then, you know, so I just didn't have the time and I'm just exhausted. You know, I was up at 3:30 to catch the flight. 4 hours of sleep, so I try to like look through my body, and I'm just like, I don't want to.
So wrecked.
Especially when I know I'm doing like a hard workout, which was like a 75 minute workout. It's like I don't want to risk getting injured,
right?
Or like just when my body doesn't have the rest and the recovery, like it's just gonna. I'd rather just not. Mm-hmm. But mostly when I travel, like I'll run tomorrow morning before the shoot, and then the following day before I fly home. So, but for the majority of the time, I'm running because I have to, you know.
Right.
Most hotels have treadmills, so I do that, or I'll, you know, go out and find a route. But yeah, I mean, I have to.
Easier days when you're, or is it still like full bore?
The jobs. Yeah, the traveling's so random. It could be on a Monday, Tuesday. Right. It could be over the weekend, which is typically the long runs.
He's got a coach, bro.
That's true.
He doesn't set the schedule.
You got someone to hold your nuts over the fire and say, go do it.
He's like, okay, what do you got coming up? What's your march look like? Okay, we got this. We're going to move the long run here. So that's been very helpful.
Right.
And will be helpful, hopefully, these next few months. Right. But and that's just like a fun way for me to see a city too. I love
dude, it's the best. Yeah, you land, you go run.
And that's the best thing that's about fatherhood. I've always been a morning person, but it has made me even like I get up at 5:30,
right?
And I'm in 5:45, 6 a.m. I'm back before Maddie and the baby get up.
It's the perfect time.
I absolutely am obsessed with it.
Still hurts your sleep though.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, yeah. But I'm going to bed at like 9 though. You know,
totally.
Yeah.
I don't stay up too late.
No, dude, when I see like your photos running on the beach when you are in Florida, the sunrise runs, I'm just like, how with the sunrise? Gosh, that's so sick.
I know, it's so different on the West Coast.
Literally my favorite place to run on Earth.
That's so cool.
Beach. The beaches are so wide. It's hard.
So much sand,
Hard sand. And I get it's humid as flip. It's like 4:45, 5 a.m. and it's 75, like 80 degree humidity.
Disgusting.
It's unbelievable. Gross.
But but then you get the ocean breeze and the sun comes up and it's like
it's good training. It's good training for sure.
It's very spiritual.
That's awesome.
And the sand gets your calves all like nice and
toasted. The ridge check, you know, it's always It's always nice to chizzy the ridgies out there.
A lot of that was the traveling for work. So inevitably, Niles and I are doing more production work and essentially every bigger job now is going to be traveling. So we've been doing like hotel treadmills and then getting out. But production's weird because it's these longer days typically. So if you're not crushing early morning.
And call times are sometimes 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, 6 a.m. Yeah, it's like.
And then you're on your feet. It's like, okay, so if
you have to be on, it's not like you can't be off either.
No, you can't be tired at like 2 because you got up at 4 to go run. Yeah.
And I think on those days, and it sounds like you guys have had those, and I've had those as well, where I just my body's working. You know, I'm like, I'm moving a lot for 12 hours. And so I take it as a cardio day, as like a workout in a weird way.
That's kind of how I see it too. It's like, it's time on feet. It's like the bones are getting denser. The liggies are getting stronger.
I think too, what I need to start doing is like, say the travel day is kind of a wash day. You're not actually working. Maybe you'll meet up with someone that morning. And I'm kind of lazy because I'll be packing later. So I need to like be diligent on, because the travel days could be two wasted days. If you could get in a run those days, it'd be kind of nice.
Exactly.
I mean, I was following one dude on Twitter who like always has like, he never takes the first flight out. He always takes the second. It's so he can like get a workout in before he goes. And I was like, oh, that's actually so interesting, because I'm always first flight out, get home to the family as soon as possible.
Oh, after the shoot.
After the shoot. But when but when I get home, I'm torched. Like, I'm so tired. Like, and I was like, what if I ran, got an extra hour of sleep, and then showed up actually like feeling refreshed.
Well, and bro, the last thing you want to do after you've been gone for a week is be like, get home and be like, hey honey, I gotta hit my run like tomorrow, or like I need 3 hours,
I need to sleep so I can run tomorrow. It's just like
you gotta do it when you're on your trip, so that you're home and you're fully present.
You don't want, that's a quick trip to the red. All the shekels and coins that you've gathered in favor with your wife go out the door.
That's a little thing I like to call a knuckle sandwich, is what that is.
Oh man, have you what's up with like nutrition? Have you learned anything so in the last year about like what's been working for you, or where, you know, there's a lot of knowledge out there with, or like supplements and all that stuff. So curious to hear your approach.
Not so much, man. I still have a really good metabolism, so I just pound the carbs, man. I could be eating better. I mean, I eat pretty clean, but I don't eat bad. I do sometimes, because I know I'm burning it off like crazy.
What's eating bad for you? Like a bucket of fried chicken or McDonald's?
Chick-fil-A, you know, I'm a sucker for fries.
My fries are so good.
It's probably the food item I've eaten most of my life.
Yeah.
French What's the fries. One thing you eat most in your life? I think it's French fries.
Yeah, because with every meal, it's delicious. Like it never
I feel like
bad.
If I don't eat at least a few slices of pizza per week, I'm like, something's
same.
Off.
Yeah, that's pizza. You know, that's big. But I think it's just like dialing in my like night before my long run and meals, just to see what has been working best.
Are you fueling with like a electrolyte mix and gels or
no? So I don't. Nick thought this was pretty crazy, but I don't consume anything before my runs. So I wake up and I go. So I depend on what's still in my stomach.
Cool.
From the night before. And so I'm testing out Nick's new Go gels.
Nice.
Really tasty. I don't know if you guys have used those yet.
I haven't tried them, but I looked at the ingredients and I'm like, dude, these ingredients are like something I can get behind. Cause it's it feels really way more like food, or it reads way more like food than.
Yes,
other gels that are like plasma, you know.
Yeah, I've been using the Morton gels during my workouts, just because it has just worked well with my body. And the Go gels came out just before CIM, and Nick gave me a bunch, and I was just, I had not had enough time to try them out, so I just got cold feet. And I was like, this whole build, I'm training with Go gels to get familiar with it. But I've so far loved
them. I've had a couple of the apple cinnamon that we got, one box. It's good. It's so sweet. Good. It has a tartness. It's very sweet. I've been a huge fan of Spring Energy, which is like all natural sugar, but they're freaking like four. They're expensive, the Go gels aren't cheap either. They're $3 a pop still, if you break it down like the box price. So they're a quality product. And I, on one of my runs, I was like, oh, this is absolutely working. I felt myself like pick up after like 6 miles.
Too.
And
cool.
No, it you feel it. They work.
That's definitely like, along with strength, I feel like nutrition's the next thing I could be doing better.
That was the biggest thing for me, was figuring out
salt was my
transition.
Thing. Yeah.
Salt is basically like, it's
salt.
Like,
yes.
yeah,
salt pills.
Like that was everything. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been doing the Element salt packets.
Cool. Yeah. I have those.
I have those almost every day.
They're so salty. Like, do you do full pack or do you do like half pack?
Oh, full pack.
Oh my gosh, you're an animal, dude. It's like,
I only do it with about 4 ounces
pack,
of water.
Oh, dude, that's like,
no, I'm just kidding.
Dude, I was like, dude, that's a nuclear drink.
Water. I just pour right
in. Yeah, just down the
like
gullet.
Like a pixie stick. Just an Element stick.
Oh my gosh. Dude, you're an animal. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I definitely need to be working on that a little bit better.
It's a lot to think about, though.
As we always love around here, shoe talk. What are you training in? What are you kind of racing in or tempo running in?
Yeah, I
The fans want to know.
Here we go.
So I have been on the on Cloud Monsters. Well, I was Hoka last time I talked to you guys. I was on the Clifton 8s, 9s, yeah, whatever. Haven't used those in a minute. And then on Cloud Monsters came out, and I used those pretty religiously the last year and a half. I've gone through so many of those, but recently I switched to the ASIC.
Ooh, Nova.
What are these called?
Nova Blast? Is that?
Yeah, the Nova Blast. Yeah. 4.
Those look sick.
Bandit kind of signed a contract, like a 3-year partnership with ASICs.
Oh, cool.
So I was just kind of, oh, let me see what these are all about. I met Emma Bates recently.
Oh, whoa.
She's, you know, one of their, you know, athletes. Mm-hmm. For Sweden. And I tested one of these out during the New York City Marathon, Bandit Pop Up, and I got out of my Cloud Monsters into those, and the noticeable difference of just comfort and cushion, I was like, oh right. My god! And so I'm a huge fan of these. I've probably got 70 miles on these right now. And
yeah, those get rave reviews. Like for most people, like everyone loves that shoe. Yeah. I haven't had ASICs in forever.
Yeah,
that's is it a trainer or is it like a race shoe?
Trainer.
Okay.
Yeah, it's comparable to the Clifton Hokas and the
right.
I think you can pick it up pretty good in that shoe too. They say though, like that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's ASICs, super light.
They're killing it. They have all the shoe companies are like getting their foams, their midsole foams, all dialed in with like.
Yeah. They're getting closer to Nike, because I feel like 3 years ago Nike was far
Zoom X,
ahead of everybody,
yeah.
And now everybody's kind of caught up a little bit.
Yeah.
By other racing shoes, I've tried the Adidas ones, the Adidas Pros. Mm-hmm. I think would always blister at like 8 miles in.
Oh, okay.
So I can't do that. I raced in the Next Percent 3s.
Yeah.
The Vaporflies are perfect. The shoes I've raced all my marathons in those. The Next Percent 2s for my first one, and then the 3s for the previous two. But the Alpha Flies come out tomorrow. Alpha Flies, Nike. So I'm a Nike like
racer.
You are a race shoe. Yeah, it's not.
Bro, I mean.
But I want to try. But I want to try the On ones. Look really cool. I've heard cool things about those. And then I want to see what ASICS has for their racing shoe. But Nike works for me for my foot.
Yeah. Right. Gotta always throw it back to Prefontaine at some point too.
Oh, big time.
Tried and true, dude. Everyone loves. I mean, what a legend.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Are you? Yeah. I was gonna say. Are half tights the truth? ? I put that in my notes.
I have switched to the half tight game, and that was a shout out band. I had been notoriously against them for the longest time, and I liked my 2-inch, 3-inch split shorts. And I just could never find a tight that was comfortable on my gut. It just would always so tight, and then I'd feel it in my run and have a little bit of acid reflux. I'm like, God, this is the worst. And then I tried Bandits, and it was just perfect. And it was the literal. And I know I'm partnered with them. I have to say that, but I actually genuinely mean that. Like literally haven't worn shorts in probably 8 months.
So they are the truth. They are They are the truth.
Can anyone rock these half tights? Like, could I, you know, like where am I on the half tight game? And
you can
be
honest. I think you can 100%. I think the kicker is, if you decide, are you going to tuck or untuck your shirt into the half tight? I think that's
where it gets a little.
Niles has bigger like tree trunk legs though. Do they work with that? Like.
I'm gonna look like a football player with my leg. It's like who's this hunk of meat running down the trail?
Yeah, Niles or Jerome Bettis.
Is that the Jerome the Bus from the Pittsburgh Steelers? Oh, that's funny. That's a big dude.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I'm always like, there's like this runner look to me that's so cool. But being being always, you know, broader shouldered, was never like scrawny skinny. Yeah. You know, I've been in great shape my life, but it's always been. stuff
but dude,
here.
But dude,
I've looked at the runner body and I've always been like, dude, that's tight.
Watching,
like, they look fast.
Watching Nick run though, he's so light
on his feet
and he has like the perfect biomechanic cadence.
Yeah.
He like looks like a runner, but just kind of blown
Nick, like,
up.
Blew
upper
my
body.
Mind. I was like, how can someone
he's
who
bro.
Looks like that run that fast? Like that to me is just it's just wild.
And he runs in half tights too. So and he's got huge quads, man. And his legs.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I can't believe. I mean, it's So he actually passed me. I was around mile 21. It was my last time walking, and so I was walking like I had like just stopped. And he
you're down bad.
Said something to me, and so I got back on it and caught up with him for a little bit. And then
he just yells, "Go one more in your ear." Yeah,
yeah. And he whispers it.
Go two more, man.
He whispers it.
Yeah, he's like, "Go one more."
Yeah, that's so.
I know. Then he dropped me like a bad habit. It was
he had a great day.
2:39
Yeah,
I just watched.
I feel like ever since he relieved the CEO position, he's been able to like he trains like an elite. And I feel like one area that I think is interesting for you is like you're almost to elite numbers running wise, but it's like you still are a photographer. It's like that is not your actual job. Yeah, it's like you're still so it's like I feel like there is this weird like at what point like how it's like it's tricky. It's like you're a dad, you're going your work trips, the whole deal.
No, bro,
but
even
you're getting
like
to this elite level.
Even full-time paid distance runners though, like unless you're like top like there is you're not making money. Like
you're not making
it's
money.
Actually not a good unless you're literally at the top,
the best,
like winning.
Unless you're Kipchoge,
right? That's so true.
Kiptum, bro, come on.
Because I follow a bunch of those runners. I'm just like they literally just get up, have a 3-hour workout, strength, and they eat, recover, and that's it.
They wake up and they go do it again. Yeah.
I can't imagine having that much time to do all that. Like,
I know
the few professional athlete friends that I have, it cracks me up. They work so hard at their thing, and then after that, they are so lazy. It's like they will not leave that couch for 6.5 hours because they were up at 3, like training till 8, and then they ate their food, and now they're like, don't disturb me.
There's like a word for that, I think. There should be if there's not, because I'm absolutely that. Like, I can go so hard and focus on a certain thing, but then I'm actually a pretty lazy person when I'm not focused on a thing. So
That's funny.
But I'm also, like, obsessed with the idea or just, like, I have a full-time job. I'm traveling the world. I'm a new father, but I'm still going to put up fast times and put in the work.
Yeah, you're like, still going to ball out. Yeah,
I don't have
all
this time to get fast. I'm going to just make it work with my schedule.
Yeah.
And that is a very attractive thing to me.
Yeah, no.
And I think it's fun right now too. Like, we are almost getting to mid-30s. So it's like we have a few more years to go off and like see how fast and strong we can, not strong, but like fast. Like,
there's a guy in Nashville. He's from Boston, but he lives in Nashville. He's 52 and just ran a 2:37.
Whoa. PR for him? Or has he always been fast?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's like 52.
52.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
And luckily, in the trail world too, you can slow it down. But if you can go longer for more consistent, you can actually compete for a bit. But I'm just saying, like, top speed is like this fast switch that's going away. You have to work on that a lot. So,
right.
Yeah. But man, some people just can go hard. So,
yeah. I don't know if I ever had it, but, you know, would like to try my hand a little bit.
I
want to
do another mile. I want to do another mile time trial
another
this year. I need to go sub 5 just for some, like, I need to,
Yeah. Same.
And then a fast 5K is still.
I want to try and do a 5K. I might try and do an ultra soon. Actually, the
Hold up.
Speed Project.
Oh, cool.
From LA to LAX.
LA to Vegas.
Vegas. I really want to do a relay.
Is that with Satisfy? Cool. Satisfy or who sponsors that?
Yeah. So there's a team that reached out recently, but it's 2 weeks before Boston. So I would literally have to like choose. Between this, they want me to be on their team.
Oh,
so it's,
sick!
It's end of March. It's like, do I do that or do I do Boston?
What's the team? Is it or like,
With Nick Bear?
Sick.
And so, so I'm just like, that's such a cool opportunity, and Boston's always going to be there. I'm always going to.
I would say, and it's more. That is so your vibe. Like, not to say Boston's not, but that Speed Project, I followed it all last year and was like watching updates. It's so like grungy. Like, that's the, you know, the vibe. They're running through
the
night.
Desert,
you're eating snacks at gas station stops.
And you can, like, choose your route. And you can
your photos from that would be Bro, those would go off.
We're all like depleted and we're on this RV
Memory. That's a memory trip. Like if you want like a life memory.
You can do it once.
Yeah, exactly.
So too. And you're getting this team together just this moment to do this one thing.
I want to come.
Austin's always going to be there. So yeah. He literally just asked me yesterday.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my gosh, dude, let me wait and see what I need.
Yeah, let me sit on it.
That just changes everything. That changes the rest everything. Of the months. That changes training.
And so how long is each person's like leg of the journey then?
So it would come, obviously it depends on if somebody gets injured, but right. And then you pick up the slack because it's 6 runners, 2 female, 4 male. You choose, like, is it every 2 miles you're swapping out? Is every 4?
Oh, you choose. Okay, cool.
But it's around 66 to 70 miles. It's in that.
Per person?
6 per person.
That's, that's far actually.
It is.
But
it
you're
is.
Getting breaks. But it's I did just a, like, I did a Ragnar, a group, but it was the 6-person Ragnar group. So essentially the same thing where it's a distance, it's a relay, but you're swapping out. But this is the point where I knew nothing about eating or fueling in between.
So if I'm like with Nick, dude, Nick's going to have a freaking meal plan. And I'm just going to be like, dude, just tell me what to eat.
He's going
to
have the massager going. You'll finish your leg and just immediately recover.
I'm excited for the potential like mind, the mind game to it.
Yeah.
Just to know that I have 2 hours off, 3 hours off to just relax, to eat, to fuel, to take photos.
To sleep though too.
It's
like you have
2 a.m. I'm running a midnight shift. But again, photographically too, like what can come while I'm delirious, I'm in pain, I'm exhausted, and I have my cameras with me. I'm just so excited what I could create.
Yeah.
Boston is Boston. Like it is like, it is up here, but it's like, when are you going to have this chance again to do this more experiential?
I think even this talk might have pushed me.
Yeah.
You can't,
like we're pushing your direction. We don't need that.
It's definitely on the come up too. If anyone
film it,
if no one knows what we're,
the
whole BPN crew is definitely going to shoot that.
Yeah.
I'll try to find a link to something that points to that distance project.
There we go. We'll film Joe's video. There you go.
Cool, man.
I would love, dude.
I would want to be a part of the team, though. I would rather run it.
So fun.
Just run. If you're listening and you're like, what are they talking about? I'll try to put a link somewhere that explains this really cool project that goes down. Yeah, I think it starts at the Santa Monica Pier or one of the piers.
Yeah, and you run to...
It starts at the pier.
Yep. And you run to Vegas.
You choose your own route and you just got to get to Vegas. And it's...
You choose your own route? I didn't know that.
Yeah. No, yeah. So like teams will go different directions.
So cool.
And,
yeah, I've heard you like discover a new route. It's like there'll be like a new route discovered. That's like the
it's
one
around
that's
340
like
miles though. It's like in that give or take 10 miles.
Yeah,
but then like elevation
you're running through the desert.
Elevation.
You're running through the absolute heat dome.
That's like the last week of March. So I've got 3 months.
You have to run in like a cut off like Harley tank top too. It has to have like you have to like look cool doing it.
You think Joe's fit
is going to go off?
Dude, you better believe I'm running.
This answers the question right here. Just look at that face.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Thumbnail.
The fit is dialed.
The speed project fit is going to be gnar.
Oh, so good.
Yeah,
man,
that's cool. Well, thanks for hopping on. I know
that was such a joy.
Appreciate it, man. Good chatting, good catching up.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
All good things, dude. We'll do it again soon. Hopefully to see you soon.
Hopefully we can actually get some miles in this year at some point. Our paths cross would be really fun.
Miles in.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm getting back on the train too. It's been
there. You
it's
go.
Been fun.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Attaboy.
All right.
Bye, dads.
Okay.
Right. Enjoy your dinner. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Later, dude.
Later, y'all.